Good afternoon, brethren. Today I'd like to speak about a subject with a sermon entitled, To Do Justly. And the scriptures are basically around the time of Micah, the prophet Micah, who lived in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. And during that time, and before and after, the Jews were very ritualistic. They gave frequent offerings and sacrifices, offerings of calves, rams, and oil. In fact, they gave many burnt offerings. They thought that if they did this, God would be well pleased. They believed the more offerings they gave, the more God would be pleased with them, the more he would answer their requests. But was God really pleased with these offerings? The book of Micah gives us the answer in Micah, Chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. That's Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. We are asked, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Then the passage suggests extreme sacrifices, the costliest a person could give. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Surely no one would sacrifice their children, except in the example of Abraham, where God was testing him and provided a ram as an alternative instead of his son. There are actually a few references, mentions of child sacrifices in the Bible. One of them relates about King Ahaz of Judah, how he sacrificed his children. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 3, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 3, states, he, that is Ahaz, burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So God calls the burning of children as a religious ceremony an abomination. Now we read the answer to that question about what shall I come before the Lord with in verse 8 of Micah 6. That's Micah 6 verse 8. We read the simple answer, a simple but very profound answer. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus Christ repeated this answer almost exactly the same in the Gospels, when Christ said that the weightier matters of the law were justice and mercy and faith, comparing these with the tithing of mint, anise, and cumin. The Jews obviously were going to extremes in tithing the seeds, the minute seeds of their produce. Now obviously to do justly is the same as to act in justice. To love mercy is the same as mercy. And faith and walking humbly with your God go hand in hand. And recently we heard a sermon covering the example of mercy entitled Compassion, Mercy and Forgiveness. That was the second of the three things that Micah said. I'll handle only the first one, to do justly. So what does this mean? What does it mean to each of us personally? The word for justice is used when God described Abraham and said in Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 to 19. That's Genesis 18, 17 to 19. God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So God knew that Abraham would teach justice to his children, that he would do right. He would make a distinction between what is right and what is wrong. He would be fair. This follows God's character in that he does right and is fair. He makes right judgments. When we look at the books of the law, looking at the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, that's Leviticus chapter 19, it starts with a statement that God tells the Israelites how to live. Looking at verse 2, we read, "You shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy." And in part of this chapter, in verses 13 to 16, it gives us good instructions in living a just life. It says, "You shall not cheat your neighbour, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall fear the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honour the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbour." This instructs us to live a life of justice in all our dealings, not to try to get the better of our neighbour in any of our dealings with them. If we have made a promise to pay a certain amount at a certain time, we should carry out that promise and not delay it. In a number of places, God condemns the people for having short measures, like a shop having a scale that may read 10% high in order to make more profit. You can read this again in Micah chapter 6 again, verses 10 to 11. That's Micah chapter 6, verses 10 to 11. Are they yet the treasures of your wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the short measure that is an abomination? Shall I count pure those with wicked scales, and with the bag of deceitful weights? God is condemning those who cheat when they measure produce. Now, when we come to the part on not cursing the deaf, that's very instructive to us. After all, the deaf person, he wouldn't hear the curse. He wouldn't care. However, God hears our curse, and he knows our thoughts. This shows that we are to do justly, even when others may not know what we are doing. So do not sin, even if you know you will not be found out. When you think about it, cursing the deaf could also include gossip. If we talk about someone behind their back, it is like they are deaf to what we are saying. They don't hear us running them down, but God does hear us. The Apostle Paul explained this to us quite very plainly when he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, that's Romans chapter 7, verse 7, "I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet." After all, who would know a person is coveting unless it comes out outwardly and openly? But God knows our thoughts. He defines right and wrong, what is just and what is unjust. As we read previously in Leviticus 19, God concludes this section with, "You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honour the mighty." We are not to give preference to one person more than to another because of what they have physically or what position in life they hold. We are to judge impartially and in righteousness. Don't act with favouritism to anyone, but act justly. So how do we learn to live justly? In Psalm 25, verse 9, David stated, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." So to learn to live justly, we need to be humble and submissive to be able to receive God's instruction through his word. And God's word shows us what is appropriate and inappropriate behaviour toward others. In another psalm, we can read that every one of God's righteous in judgments endures forever. That is in Psalm 119, verse 160. They do not change with changing fashions. Things like dress style may change, but modesty is a permanent requirement. So if we study God's judgments in the book of the law, we can learn what God considers righteous. Those judgments help us to make distinction between what is right and what is wrong, how to behave justly before others and God. God tells us to honour the elderly and give them respect, another instruction for how we should interact with others. So our life is a series of making proper choices and decisions as we live. We are not to have situation ethics, where what we do is determined by the situation we find ourselves in. That is not God's way, especially when he says, "I change not." We should learn to live this way as the same way that God lives. Now, obviously, the book of Proverbs was written for our instruction. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read the whole purpose of this book. It is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. In other words, how to live justly. Now, the word equity was used in this passage. This repeats what we read it before about not being in any way partial to the people we have dealings with, not treating any with favouritism over others because of some feature they have. Even in our speech, we can do justly. When we talk with someone, do we use words that are kind and pleasant? Or do we use words that are crude or ugly or even insulting? There is a proverb which states, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Think of Jesus Christ. The words he used most times were very encouraging, and because of that, they give us great hope. However, when it was necessary, he used strong words, even condemning words that the hearers justly deserved. Again, he spoke justly and with impartiality. So for our whole life, we're to distinguish or judge between what is good and what is not good in every action we take, even when others may not know what we're thinking or doing. It is making right choices in all our lives as we have to make choices, and we learn to do this by studying God's judgments that he has provided for us in his word. We must not be like the Jews in Micah's time and many other times, who thought if they provided more sacrifices, the more they gave to God physically, the more he would listen to them. They did not have the big picture of God, what God wants from us. He wants us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.